All right, I'm going to call this meeting to order. I just want to make sure you guys all got the packet that Vicki sent out on Friday.
I did.
Great. So we'll just move on right along knowing that you guys all got the read ahead packet. So the first is approving the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve
the minutes. This is Doug. I'll move adoption of the minutes.
Great. So Josh has moved, and Doug, do you want to second that?
Okay, good. I'll second it.
Great. So any discussion on the minutes?
None for me.
Okay, none for me either. So seeing none, all those in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye. All right, the minutes are approved. So moving to the loans, there are three loans. It looks like that are needing our approval. Rich, do you want to maybe provide some feedback before we get into it?
The only thing that's kind of unusual among these three loans is number one of Delavan. This is a two-year interim financing loan. They are actually building a new town hall, but they're also going to the bond market in July. And so they wanted to get a shovel in the ground before their bonds were sold and to also have us in the back pocket just in case the bond sale went awry. And so that loan, if it is taken out at all, will be very short-term, I believe. Other than that, the other two are standard.
Okay, and the Attorney General has approved them for public purpose?
They have.
Always.
Yep. In that case, this is Doug. I'll move adoption of the three loans.
All right, I second that. Any discussion?
Not for me.
Nothing for me either. So, seeing that there's no discussion, all those in favor of approving the loan, say aye.
This is Doug. I vote aye.
Aye.
Great. The loans are approved. So, we have no old business. We have no new business today. So, we are moving to routine business. And Rick put together a really great report. So, Rich, do you want to walk us through it?
Sure. I don't have a whole lot to add. I just wanted to point out a few things in this report. One is that interest rates have really declined a lot since in the last 6 months or so. And that has had a pretty important impact on the value of our bond portfolio, which has increased about $31 million from $22.5 million in unrealized losses to over $8 million in unrealized gains. Now, of course, that doesn't have a direct impact or immediate impact on our beneficiaries because we're never required to sell, but it does have provided us with an ability to realign the bond portfolio by selling most of the bonds that had lower yields. The bond portfolio in the past had included some bonds that had some pretty short yields just because when we acquired those bonds, we didn't have any alternative investments, and interest rates were at all-time lows. And so rather than keeping money in the state investment fund, which at that time was paying close to zero, you know, we put the money into these bonds that were yielding, you know, 3 to 3.4%. And this recent decline in interest rates allowed us to sell those bonds without taking a loss, because now we have opportunities to reinvest those funds at higher returns. In fact, the remaining bond portfolio has a yield that has increased from 3.75% in November to 3.9% today. Which is a pretty important change, and it's changing the yield on a bond portfolio like that is sort of like moving an aircraft carrier, and so having that type of a change, I think, was a pretty important benefit to the fund. We have a lot of cash right now, but we also have some other opportunities. The investment committee is looking into commitments into real estate and venture capital, and we should be in the next few meetings coming to the board with some details on those fronts. including a tweak to the investment policy. Yeah, the investment policy we're going to have to tweak a little bit coming up, including asset allocations, distribution language, and a few other cleanup items. And that is all I really have to report. Is there any question on the report or any of the attachments?
No, I just want to...
Nope, I'm good.
I just want to thank you, Rich, because there's a lot of good active management, especially with selling of the equity, so that was great.
Thank you.
All right. So moving to Jonathan's report.
Yeah, and I'll be brief. I've got two things I wanted to mention. One is a recap from the last meeting. Mr. Gordon Connor has agreed to sell the 80-acre parcel that has not been logged, that we offered initially 168. He's agreed to the terms of $160,000, and he agreed to a very limiting easement. We're providing him an easement to get to his remaining parcel, but not allowing it to be transferred or not allowing the land to be subdivided where the new parcel owners would have access to this easement. Basically, we've given them an easement for timber management and timber harvesting only, plus deer hunting. And so on that basis, he's accepted the deal verbally, and I expect that that will be put together in the next couple of days. The second thing I wanted to talk about, or maybe give us an opportunity to talk about, is the recent actions by Joint Finance Committee that affected our agency. They came as kind of a surprise. I was in the meeting the two days before Tom and I went around and met with all the legislators or their staff and could ferret out nothing that was going to affect our agency from any of our contacts with them. And then when we went to the meeting, there were no papers on the tables that related to BCPL. But lo and behold, 3 minutes before our issue came up, some papers were handed out. And the gist of the papers, if you haven't already heard, has four main components. It converts BCPL's funding mechanism from program revenue to GPR. It approves the appropriation for BCPL in the amount equal to the governor's budget request for BCPL. So initially, in this budget, we will be given the same amount of money as we asked for and as the governor recommended, but it will no longer be program revenue, it'll be GPR. It prohibits BCPL from paying for certain expenses from the gross revenues of the trust funds, and it increases DPI's appropriation for library aid by $1.5 million per year. Taking these in reverse order, the more problematic one, they just simply made an error or an oversight. Increasing library aids by $1.5 million fails to recognize that we have costs in both the common school fund and in the normal school fund. And the ratio really boils down to, if this were passed and all of our costs were picked up by GPR, we would have approximately $821,000 increase to the common school fund and about a $520,000 increase to the normal school fund. So Bob Lang at Fiscal Bureau is aware of this, and I've been talking with Tom and with Bob Lang, and we're going to give them some corrective language in a broad brush, because I don't want to get into the weeds of the numbers, but I think we're thinking in terms of 60% common school and 40% normal school fund, and then Bob Lang will be happy that his legislation is approximately accurate. It boils down to the fact that the legislators didn't really quite know what they were doing as it related to the actual flow of money. But they did know what they were doing in terms of the policy. And the policy, I think, the Legislative Council decided that we were acting unconstitutionally. I thought that really was your role, Josh, but that's what they decided. But they have a good argument based on past court cases that date back quite a few years. And the only thing countervailing that is assistant attorney general's opinion in 1979. And so it seems likely, but I'm not going to completely agree yet, but it seems likely that they have the authority and the right to move us to GPR. The problem, of course, then becomes we'll be, like any other agency, subject to whims of budgeting, and in effect, our agency could be managed by the allocation of funds. I mean, they could decide that, that we don't need any foresters, for example, and just not fund those. Those are issues that I prefer not to get all worked up about. And in fact, I think our best answer is to continue doing a good job and keep good communication with the legislature, and perhaps that this is an unwarranted worry. Having said that, for the legislature in the future to try and tinker with our budget allocations, it raises interesting questions, in my mind at least, as to, well, we have a fiduciary responsibility, as does our board, to manage these trust fund assets, including the timber assets, in the most efficacious manner possible to benefit the beneficiaries. And if the legislature wants to substitute their wisdom, just arbitrarily yanking funds from or allocations for staff, that might hinder our ability to make our fiduciary duty or to honor our fiduciary duty. I guess the summary of this is there's more to come. And the immediate impact is almost negligible because the amount of money that's allocated is about exactly what we had last year and what the governor requested for this year. This will start impacting us in 2021, if indeed it does then. With that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
And I think it's fair to say, Jonathan, that we're still kind of evaluating because
right.
This was just thrown so, this was out of the blue completely.
It was.
In addition to just understanding the implications and the legal aspect of it is what's the long-term impact. And I think one of the things, too, that Jonathan mentioned was the raising it to $1.5 million and making sure that we can meet those expectations.
Right.
Because I think the last thing that we want is for the legislature to come back and say that we did not meet a requirement. And so we just want to make sure we are managing what is realistic, knowing that you just moved the goalpost on us.
Now, there's the other issue that's coming up that Rich alluded to, is we have before us a need to amend and update our asset allocation and investment plan. And there's an area in there that pertains to this, because the amount of money right now that is directed to the smoothing fund could yield a very large increase in 1 year,
yeah.
Given the way this legislation is done, that would then build into our five-year average, and it could really screw us up. So
yeah.
We're going to need to really work closely with a few legislators that will listen, and I think that's doable, because we just don't want a bad impact. So what I'm saying is, if we didn't amend our even if we do amend our asset allocation and investment plan, it could lead to a rather larger than normal increase because of this funding change in our distribution in 1 year. And we really don't like the idea of going up and down and up and down. We like to be stable and predictable as opposed to, volatile. So that's an issue we have to be watching out for. And we will come back to this board with recommendations in more detail on how this is impacting us. Lastly, Sarah is right. This is brand new, and we don't even know if it's susceptible to veto or line veto unless we know the language that the drafters will do to translate this into law. And that's one of the reasons why I want to get Bob Lang informed, is to get it approximately right.
Mr. Doug, I have a question. Not having seen this, but Jonathan and Tom have looked at it apparently carefully. Is there anything the governor can do with partial veto to rectify any of this?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, Doug, is that we need to have the statutory language. What happened is that the Joint Finance Committee makes this broad brush motion that, just basically has a few sentences in it. And then the Legislative Fiscal Bureau and the LRB draft the language to implement their policy. Once that language is drafted, then we have some grist for a possible line veto.
Okay.
And this is something, Doug, that Tom, Jonathan, and I are actively working on.
All righty. Are we done? I'm going to go to bed.
So, my update, there are really two things. I think one, just adding on to what Rich and Jonathan mentioned with the asset allocation and our investment policy, is, which we've been spending a lot of time on, is to make sure we have a good due diligence process, which as fiduciaries of this fund, I think that's really important. So we will continue to kind of, I think, provide updates on that. The other two pieces I want to make sure we don't lose sight of, one is I know that Tom and Jonathan are following up, Josh, with your team on fiduciary responsibilities. And so I just want to make sure we kind of keep on top of that, because that was something that we talked about at the last meeting, so I want to make sure we don't forget about it. And then the final update is, I did mention at our last meeting that we worked on kind of a high-level strategy, and hopefully we can share that with you guys in the future, whether it's the next meeting or the following one. So that is my update slash future agenda items for upcoming meetings. Are there any other future agenda items?
Nothing for me.
Okay.
All right. Josh,
were you about to speak?
No, he said nothing. He said there's nothing on his end.
Okay. Is it appropriate for me to move we adjourn the meeting?
That is appropriate, Doug, and I second that motion. So all those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye, Doug.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a good afternoon where you are. Goodbye.